The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Now it's time to think and discern. This is Bob Burney Live.
And welcome to the 5 o'clock hour of Bob Burney Live. Thank you. Thank you for joining me. My telephone number, 877-BOB-LIVE, 877-262-5483. In case you have not heard, and I can't imagine that you have not heard, but radio legend, radio icon Rush Limbaugh passed away today from lung cancer. He was diagnosed just over a year ago, January of last year, with stage 4 lung cancer. The prognosis at that time was very, very dim, as it usually is with stage 4 lung cancer. He survived much longer than the original prognosis, but he passed away today. There will never be another Rush Limbaugh. Inimitable. Love him, hate him, or somewhere in between. He was a pioneer. He set the stage for most of talk radio today. In fact, many experts believe if it were not for Rush Limbaugh, there would be no talk radio today. And I believe that that is very, very possible. Again, whether you liked him, whether you didn't like him, you have to admit he was probably the single most influential individual on talk radio for sure of this generation. And I can't imagine there was anyone else before him that was more influential than Rush Limbaugh. And I believe he was born again, at least from the statements that he has made in the last 6 months. He said he had put his faith and trust in Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. And I'm going to take him at his word for that. So that is reason to rejoice. This, however, is not reason to rejoice. How long has it been since the inauguration? Now, 4 weeks? Let me pull up my calendar just real quick so I'm accurate. I got it here on my computer. All right, the inauguration was January 26th, I believe it was, January 26th. So that's 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks. This has been a month. Joe Biden has been in office for 4 weeks. Guess what? He has still not called Benjamin Netanyahu Prime Minister of Israel. You say, well, so what? He has called almost every other prominent world leader, but not the Prime Minister of one of our closest allies. In fact, he has taken longer to make a phone call to the leader of Israel than any president in American history. Now, I believe that Barack Obama was the most anti-Israel president in modern American history. He treated Benjamin Netanyahu at times like dirt. I think most of you remember the thing of him coming out the back door of the White House by the trash bin. Barack Obama did not treat Israel well. You know how long it took Barack Obama to call the Prime Minister of Israel? One day. Yeah, one day. One day. We are now 4 weeks into the Biden presidency, and he has still not called Benjamin Netanyahu. Now, I'm sure that some would say, well, Benjamin Netanyahu campaigned for Trump and supported Trump. Yeah, but in spite of all of the controversy about the election, when the election would be certified and so forth, Prime Minister Netanyahu congratulated Joe Biden on his victory 5 days after the election. Yeah, as close, and hey, Netanyahu and Trump were close. And 5 days after the election, there was a lot of controversy about the integrity of the election. Could we really trust the election results? And yet, 5 days after the election, Prime Minister Netanyahu sent this message to Joe Biden. Congratulations at Joe Biden and at Kamala Harris. Joe, we've had a long and warm personal relationship for nearly 40 years, and I know you as a great friend of Israel. I look forward to working with both of you to further strengthen the special alliance between the U.S. and Israel. Yeah, well, maybe Benjamin Netanyahu spoke a little too soon. Again, this delay in communication between a president of the United States and the Prime Minister of Israel is unprecedented. Do you think maybe possibly that Benjamin Netanyahu has noticed? You think maybe that the government of Israel has noticed that the President of the United States has contacted almost every other ally of America and even some of our enemies, and he has not reached out personally to Benjamin Netanyahu. Now, I said this during the Obama administration. America doesn't have a whole lot going for it any longer. We are not a godly nation any longer. We are not characterized by righteousness any longer. Who in their right mind could look at America and say that we are characterized by righteousness and godliness? We don't have that going for us at all. We have abandoned many, if not most, of the principles of our founding fathers. We have become corrupt. We have become immoral. We have embraced wholeheartedly as a culture that which God has solidly condemned. And one of the only things left that America has had is our relationship with Israel. And yes, I do believe what Scripture says. In the everlasting covenant that God made with Abraham. And as I've said so many times, what about everlasting, don't you understand? God said, I will bless them that bless you, I will curse them that curse you, and God made it clear that this covenant that God made with Israel was an unconditional, everlasting covenant. Not all of the covenants that God made with mankind are unconditional. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. That's an if then. If you will do that, I will do that. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and so forth. That is an if then covenant. If you will do your part, God will do his part. Concerning Israel, God said it is an everlasting covenant. I will bless them that bless you, I will curse them that curse you. For all of our sakes, and I mean this sincerely, I'm not trying to be smart or flippant. For all of our sakes, we need to pray that Joe Biden understands just how important Israel is and how important our relationship to Israel is.
Today's news, God's Word, and your thoughts. This is Bob Burney Live.
Well, I kind of thought Senate Bill 22 was kind of dead. Well, it's not dead. In fact, it is being debated. I would imagine that by this time of the evening, the debate is over. But a full vote on the Senate floor should come up. If not tonight, very, very soon, Ohio Senate Bill 22. What is that all about? Well, it is a rehash of a bill that was introduced in the last legislature that died of slow and painful death, unfortunately. But what it's all about, it would establish the Ohio Health Oversight and Advisory Committee. What it would do would limit the governor and the director of the Ohio Department of Health from having the unbridled, unconditional power that they have right now. If you will remember Dr. Amy Acton coming out and just issuing mandates, no legislative authority whatsoever, no consultation with the Ohio House or the Ohio Senate or anybody else, just one person, one individual issuing mandates that impacted all of our lives. And let me repeat what I said back then. Even if every single decision that was made was correct, by the way, I don't think they were, but hypothetically, even if every single decision made by the governor and the Ohio Department of Health director, even if every one of them were correct, we should all be very concerned about the unilateral, unconditional authority granted to two individuals, one of them unelected. Well, SB 22 would establish the Ohio Health Oversight and Advisory Committee. It would get the legislature involved in health decisions like the shutdowns, the mask mandates. It would get the legislature involved. It would not strip the governor of all authority. It would not strip the head of the Ohio Department of Health. It would just force them to consult the legislature before they made decisions that were so broad, so overreaching, and in some cases so draconian. Right now, it has very little Democrat support, but it looks like there is enough Republican support that this thing could get passed. Now, would the governor sign it? Probably not. So they're going to have a veto-proof majority, which they did not have the last time around. So this is going to be fascinating to watch, but it was being debated on the floor of the Ohio Senate today. So we'll see. We will see. I hope it passes. I really do. All right, now a little trip into the Twilight Zone. This is weird. This is bizarre. But folks, listen, the liberal left is trying to destroy all of American history and American heritage. All right, I have to say it for the 4,000th time. American history is not perfect. We made some mistakes as a nation. We made some terrible mistakes as a nation. But if you look at the United States of America as a whole, we have been an incredibly positive influence around the world. That's why so many people want to come here. The liberal left is continually telling us how bad, how terrible, how horrible America is. If America was as bad as the liberal left wants us to believe, do you really think thousands and thousands and thousands of people all over the world would risk their lives to come be a part of America? All right, what am I talking about specifically? Many of you know the name Joy Reid. Joy Reid is a leftist wacko. I mean, she is. She is a wacko. She hosts her own program on MSNBC. She is far left. She's a hate monger. My personal editorial opinion, she's a racist. I really do believe that. Well, yesterday, did she say it yesterday? It's been within the last couple of days. Joy Reid on MSNBC referred to Mount Rushmore. It was on President's Day. It was on Monday. On President's Day, the day set aside to honor the presidents of the United States, Joy Reid on MSNBC on President's Day referred to Mount Rushmore as, and I quote, a stone idol to presidential colonizers. Yeah, let that sink in. A stone idol to presidential colonizers. Now, I would imagine I will never have the opportunity to talk to Joy Reid in person, but if I did, I would love to ask her, Ms. Reid, if it were not for the presidential colonizers, as you referred to them as, where else on planet Earth would you have a platform to make such outrageous statements? Here's what so many on the left don't realize. The vitriol, the anger, the hatred they spew towards our government would not be tolerated in many, if not most, countries around the world. Well, the governor of South Dakota, Governor Kristi Noem, was not happy about what Joy Reid said about Mount Rushmore in her state. Governor Noem said, last night, Joy Reid called Mount Rushmore the stone idol to presidential colonizers. On President's Day of all days, the left wants to rewrite our history by attacking the leaders who made America the most special country ever. It's our duty to teach our kids the truth. Amen, Governor Kristi Noem. Stone idol to presidential colonizers. Seriously? Yeah, seriously.